Oh hey, didn't hear you come in. Welcome to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Episode 6, Bonus Stages. How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann.
Will, you just got back from, where was it, Nashville?
Nashville, Tennessee.
How was that?
It was pretty fun. Went to the Country Music Hall of Fame, and I never really considered myself a big fan of country music, but really interesting because there's such a rich history, and I really enjoyed watching some of like the origins and like bluegrass and a lot of that.
Sure.
They had a lot of really old film reels, and that was
awesome.
Really fun.
That sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
I think we went to Nashville a long time ago, didn't we?
Yeah. When we on our way to like Disney World, I think we stopped in Nashville.
Yep. Oh yeah, I mean, very rich town of music. One of the biggest music towns.
It's really
in the country.
Cool. Someone there described it as it's very bustling. It's a very popular music community, but not in the sense that like a lot of famous musicians that go there, they feel like it's a place where they escape the paparazzi.
Uh-huh.
So it's really nice. It's like you can be walking or going places and, hey, isn't that Taylor Swift? Or meet some famous person, but they're not really in a giant crowd of people wanting their autograph.
That makes sense because when you think of country music, even though I'm sure there's lots lots of people go, not just country musicians, but if that's kind of the center of it the kind of mainstream paparazzi.
Exactly.
Culture, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this week's
episode. Oh, this is going to be a really fun episode. Very kind of departure from a lot of earlier episodes. I mean, we're only playing bonus stage music today, so so I think it's going to be a very...
Just a little disclaimer for me. My throat's been kind of acting up, so I might cough every once in a while, so I apologize to your ears in advance, but should we do a little business before we get into?
Yeah, we can do a little business before we get to the fun, because I think this will be one of the funnest episodes.
Oh yeah,
for sure. But yeah, so we are the newest piece of information is that we are now on iTunes. Yay.
Yeah, finally.
Our podcast is on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can search for Super Mercado Bros. There's a little button once you find it to subscribe for free. All the episodes, you know, as soon as we come out with an episode, it'll automatically show up on iTunes. We have our RSS feed that we took care of a couple weeks ago.
So you can still subscribe to that. We still have a mailing list.
Yep.
Subscribe by email. We have a Twitter.
So we're very much present in the interweb, so you can definitely find us.
So that should make it a little bit easier if you don't want to have to come back to the blog every single week.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. But the first track we played was Bonus Screen from Super Mario World. I'm sure you guys all knew that, composed by Koji Kondo.
That one's another example of that game, or I guess Koji Kondo example of, that's just a little variation on the Super Mario Brothers theme. That's like
one of the many
melody
variations,
of the game. But
that's one of the most classic bonus stage songs I think ever.
Yeah, that's the first one I thought of when.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first one I thought of too. So I think it's fitting that we played that one first. But yeah, the first one on our actual playlist today is another absolutely classic bonus stage song. One of, I think, the best of all time.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best ones.
This was composed by David Weiss, who is, we both, you know, can't get enough of the guy.
He's great.
Classic composer. This is from Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Conquest, which is actually a very clever title because it's spelled K-O-N-G, like Kong, like conquest. When I was little, I couldn't read, you know, the greatest, so I used to think it was Diddy Kong's Quest, like Diddy Kong's Quest, and then it wasn't until later that I actually looked at it closer, and it completely blew my mind. It changed how I perceived the game. But anyway, this is... Like we said, from Donkey Kong Country 2, this is called Token Tango. Here we go.
Nice.
That is Token Tango from Donkey Kong Country 2, composed by David Weiss.
That one's great. I love how I think it slowly like gets faster the more the time runs out.
Yeah.
Probably I also, not. I like this section here with like the piano solo.
Yeah, the SNES. I like the piano sound on the SNES. It's sort of like a piano, but it also kind of has a little bit of a harp quality to it.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It's very pretty. It's one of my favorite.
It almost sounds a little bit kind of like a harpsichord because it has like a plucky sort of nature.
Yeah, there's something so nostalgic about that instrument. So, yeah. The next track we're going to play is from Sonic the Hedgehog. We've played some tracks from this game earlier on. Was it the first episode? First or second?
Yeah,
I think the first
yeah.
one. It was one of our top 10 soundtracks. This game was composed by Masato Nakamura, and we're going to play the special stage theme. So when you play Sonic in the first one, you get to the end of a level if you have at least, I think, 50 rings
I think
or so.
It's 50 rings.
You can get go into this big ring, and that takes you to a special stage.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a pinball kind
yeah,
of
the
a twist
world,
on
the world
ball.
Rotates and you sort of have to maneuver.
But it's really
your way.
Slow and the music is kind of the slow waltz. It's very pretty, but it does fit the vibe perfectly of the special stage because
it's
pretty,
a very trippy sort of.
But it's a little bit trippy,
experience.
Yeah, and a little bit kind of on edge. So he did the he absolutely captured that perfectly with the music. Here's special stage from Sonic the Hedgehog. That special stage, very Masato chords. He really likes the minor seventh chords. What's really good about that the chord progression though is it's very wandering. It never really goes anywhere. It just kind of, which is perfect for that special stage.
Exactly. That's a very good observation.
Yeah, it's hard to explain the music in the special stage.
One thing I kind of like this is the instrumentation and the fact that it's like a waltz. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's intended to sound sort of like a tune that they would play on a merry-go-round.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That sort of up and down, sort of circular motion.
Yes.
And that, again, that's
it's
that's
very continuous. Everything about it is continuous. It never really ends or begins. It's just one long thing. But I like the tempo is perfect. It's very slow. It's just slow enough. So
it
it's like
fits the. It actually fits the rhythm of the movement of the surrounding little labyrinth.
Yeah, seriously, like for so many years, it's hard for me to separate this song from the special
exactly.
state. It just feels like one experience.
One thing, I really love the
little colors. Yeah, he was a master at that. He kind of started almost a whole generation of composing with like how well you use those little colors and how they interact with the melody.
There's so much, especially with Masato. They're so melodic.
Oh, I know.
To me, some of the most catchy things in the Sonic music.
Those little voices, those inner voices, yeah.
I think you did a great job of adapting that whole concept with
Thank
your
you.
Sonic-esque music. There's so many little... To me, the one that sticks in my mind is at the end of the first Sonic-esque album, in that in the credits, there's this little like... Mm-hmm. wandering, I call it the twinkly thing.
Yes, yeah.
And that's so catchy.
Thank you, yeah. Actually, kind of speaking of that, later on, near the end of today's episode, for the first time, we're actually going to play some original music that... We're going to play a track that I wrote, and then we're going to, right after that, play a track that Will wrote. And actually, both of them are bonus stage songs that we wrote. So, I don't know, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think in the future we might, maybe depending on, the response, we might play some more of our original music, kind of, interspersed
Hopefully
here and there.
Hopefully I don't get too embarrassed.
Because, like we said, we do love video game music,
yeah.
And we compose a lot of original video game music.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we just thought, might as well, if we're doing an episode on bonus stages.
Yeah.
That's a great track. Okay, the next one we're gonna do. This is probably the most rocking track of the day.
Yeah,
this
really
one
sick.
Gets pretty insane. This one is great. This one is from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. I never played that game. Have you played it?
I have played it once or twice. It's for the SNES. It's a pretty classic little fun Street Fighter style fighting game, and you get to play as all the turtles. And
is the engine similar to Street Fighter, or is it not quite as advanced?
I'd say it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
It's a fun.
I'm assuming Konami probably made it. Yeah.
It feels very. I don't know. It definitely feels like it's for a different generation.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of the quality that people would like it is back during the whole like Turtles craze. And
yeah,
all that.
For sure. This game was composed by Katsuhiko Uehara, and we're gonna play. Surprisingly, this track is called Bonus Stage. This is from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters.
That's Bonus Stage from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighter.
That's a pretty intense track, pretty epic guitar, kind of speed metal.
Yeah, really sick. Again, I'm always so impressed at... Oh, that's so sick.
How they're able to do that in the SNES.
Yeah.
I feel like out of any console that has the most... Well, I mean, obviously not as much as modern stuff, but like in that era, it had so much metal and like rock...
Soundtracks. It's crazy because to me, when I think of it, I think of a lot of like strings and a lot of sort of like synthy
orchestral sounds, which they were very well endowed in that department. But they also a lot of people loved their rock.
Personally, I think the Genesis stuff sounds a little bit cooler and cleaner. Where the SNES,
I
always get the feel like I feel like it's a little bit more busy, but it's always I get the feel like the SNES is about to explode. Like some of the instruments are so shrill and piercing.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
That I think the first time I heard the Link to the Past ending, it was like it's so just like
I know those string sounds are so
it really
shrill
feels
and
like
piercing.
It's about to explode.
I don't know what it was like. The length of the loop that they use for the waveform, it's almost like, I don't know what it is, but it's like, it's like a drill in your head or something.
Well, and it's such a high-pitched thing that,
yeah,
all that stuff.
But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I feel like the actual sounds that they were trying to emulate are way better than the Genesis. It's just that the Genesis, for me, it's more fun to listen to as
it's a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, yeah. But very different. They do different things
that,
well.
That guitar solo stuff is just crazy.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to something very different. This is from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
And this is from when you're in the Hyrule Castle Town. You can go into a little shop. I think you can also do it in Kakariko Village. Mm-hmm. And there's a little shooting gallery either with your slingshot or your bows and arrows. And you're basically shooting at giant rupees in order to get money or prizes that you can win in the game. And this is Shooting Gallery from The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Composed by Koji.
It's Shooting Gallery from Ocarina of Time.
It's a cute little track.
I like that one. I like when in the later generations when I feel like Koji gets a chance to tap into the type of writing that he did in the 8 and 16-bit era.
Uh-huh.
Like on a doom 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 doom.
Yeah.
It's so much more goofy and a little bit more campy than a lot of the stuff he did.
What's interesting, this track... to lesser extent, but there's one track in Majora's Mask. Oh my gosh, reminds me of Merry-Go-Round from Mario 64.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty much the same song. There's a track in literally, it's like
yeah,
the same song.
That was also in this game. We'll play that one later.
But yeah, so this is Shooting Gallery from Ocarina of Time. Very very cute little track. Koji's very good at doing bonus music. That's it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all he can do.
The thing I really like about that one is, I don't know, the melody is a little bit more busy than I feel like a lot of his melodies are. But this one also kind of reminds me of that merry-go-round one where it blurs the line. I think it's the first... N64 is the first time where I feel he was trying to convey a sense of like this would actually be what was playing
exactly.
Were you to go into that shop.
Oh yeah, if you were
it's
at
playing
a circus,
like a goofy
it's, yeah,
little
it's very yeah. I know what you're saying with the instruments, everything about it.
The
yeah.
thing that I love about Ocarina of Time is the music takes such a center stage in that game. Not
yeah.
just little things like that, but you're constantly playing the ocarina and
mm-hmm.
it acknowledges the music a lot, and I think that's what got a lot of people into Koji Kondo probably for the
sure.
first time.
Well, we're going to move on to one of my personal favorite soundtracks. This is by Donald S. Griffin. The game is Aladdin for the Genesis. We played some tracks in our show and tell episode. I played some. Absolutely love the music in this game. This one is called Arab Rock. It's also known as Abu's Bonus Stage. So the bonus stages in this game, you actually play as Abu, and it's pretty hard, and it's really
yeah.
goofy. You're like you're in the market, and you have a sword, and these ladies are dropping these pots from the sky. All these pots are falling from the sky, and you have to cut them with your sword and dodge them. And I usually last about 5 seconds, but
yeah.
My older brother, Marty, he used to be really good. He would last, you know, minutes. And I would like watching him play because then I get to hear the song for a long time.
Right.
And this song rocks. This is called Arab Rock from Aladdin. Arab Rock from Aladdin.
I really like that sort of plucky instrument there.
Yeah.
Gosh, that
was that the lava reef?
So
that might be the
good.
Lava reef instrument. It might be.
It very well could be.
Yeah.
This is
You're
what I'm
talking
saying
about
those
earlier.
Genesis instruments.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of either the samples or the instruments they have mm-hmm. is so good. Like,
oh, I know.
A lot of the drum samples they have are just fantastic. Like,
oh,
the quality that... in which they're recorded at,
mm-hmm.
they sound very legit. And that instrument...
Yeah,
it
the thing about
like,
the Genesis is there's something so in your face about the sounds of a lot of their
right.
instruments. Those plucked sounds, those metallic sounds, the FM synth stuff, it's just very crisp. It's very loud sounding. And it just kind of cuts to the core of the song, and it just really makes stuff stand out a lot more than NES.
My
SNES
favorite thing
stuff.
About this track is I love when that catchy bass comes in. That's so
very
sick.
Kind of late 80s, early 90s rock, yeah. This is a classic track. So yeah, we're going to move on to Super Bomberman 4. We played a track from Bomberman 2, Super Bomberman 2.
I think this might use like a similar theme.
Yeah, this
as
uses
its
like the Bomberman theme that they use in tons of games, but this, I guess, is the bonus stage version of it. This is bonus stage from Super Bomberman 4, and it's composed by Jun Chikuma. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back.
That's Bonus Stage from Super Bomberman 4.
Classic track. That reminds me of just all those hours we spent playing Bomberman.
This version is great. Like, I love that drummer beat because that's so catchy.
Yeah, this is a different composer than the one who did Super Bomberman 2, but it sounds like the same kind of style.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if this person necessarily wrote that theme.
Oh, that's true.
That theme was in, like,
sorry,
almost everything.
As soon as I said that, I realized that, yeah. Bomberman, I feel like any track you could say is, like, a Bonus Stage style song.
Yeah, the whole game, like, acts as though it's almost like a mini game.
The whole game is, like, a bonus game. But yeah, so for most of these, we tried to find tracks that were actually, that's what they were from, was a Bonus Stage. But some of these, you know, like
the feel of the level and the sound of the music. It has to have that sort of goofy nature.
And
that
in general,
take itself seriously.
That Shooting Gallery, that was a bonus. When you think of bonus, just something you don't need to do in the main game, you know. So yeah, so we're going to move on now to a game called... Oh, what is it? Super Smash Brothers? Have you heard of that? This is the soundtrack of this game was obviously they used classic songs from all kinds of video games, but Hirokazu Ando actually did compose some original music for the game, and this is one of the few tracks that actually features his original music.
Wait, you were kidding about not knowing what game it was, right?
For some reason, this bonus game theme almost brings me back to the 64 more than almost any. There's something.
Yeah,
I don't know what's so
totally
classic about.
I feel
this.
Like this and like the opening song. Of the
opening
game.
Song and definitely the Zelda 2 song, the kind of James Bond style.
I think that was
song.
In Melee.
That was for the first time.
I think that was in Melee.
That was the
because I remember.
I know it was in Melee. I thought it was also in this
Smash
one.
Brothers. Melee was like one of the launch games.
Yeah.
So it's a similar era in your mind.
I'm probably getting them blurred. Yeah. For some reason, Melee seems like more classic to me anyway.
Yeah. Well, because I think that we never had a Nintendo 64 growing up.
At the time, we didn't. Yeah. We got one a lot later. But anyway. We digress. This is Bonus Game from Super Smash Brothers.
Bonus Game from Super Smash Brothers, and I really, this one has a good use of, like, the percussive things.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's panned is really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, I really like that lead sort of, like, organ-sounding instrument. It feels very Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's like the
Mario
classic 64 instrument, yeah.
It's great. I think definitely in Mario Kart, they use that organ a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. What do we got next?
Next we have a game I've never played. It's for the NES. It's called Clue Clue Land. And that for those of you that are not familiar, it's spelled C-L-U space C-L-U space land. Clue Clue Land. I have no idea actually anything about the game, if it's a shooter or if it's a puzzle game. No clue at all. You got any idea, Will?
Yeah, I've never played this one, so...
So, the word Clue Clue Land, what does that make you think? Like, if you had to guess what type of game this was?
Well, before you spelled it out for me, I was thinking that maybe it was, like, an adventure detective game. Like, you're going around in Clue Clue Land and getting clues.
That's definitely wrong.
But, I don't know. It sounds kind of, no offense, sounds kind of Japanese. And
yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, I don't take offense to that.
I'm picturing something goofy and... very confusing and like maybe something like Kirby where it's like you're cute and kind of weird.
That's probably closer to what it actually is. But anyway, we'll think about that as we play this track. This is Bonus Stage from Clue Clue Land. Thank you. Originally, I thought it'd be funny to play that for like 4 minutes because it's a 10-second loop. But yeah, that's composed by Akito Nakatsuka.
Gosh, I got a lot to say about this one.
All right.
First of all,
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back. Just kidding.
First of all, not only is the melody and the bass thing great, but there's only... Notice, remember how I always said that with NES music, they could only have 3 channels of sound. This is only using 2.
Uh-huh.
This is just having a bass line and a melody. But the bass line works as a counter melody. Mm-hmm. In each note, it's so genius. It gives you like the impression of what the chord is at that moment. It sounds so full. Like I can't imagine there being anything else.
Yeah,
and
no,
it's just 2 voices.
It is genius, and I almost guarantee that the music surrounding it did use all the channels, and that's one of the things that makes it sound bonus stagey, is that it doesn't. It kind of makes it sound not quite as like important, you know? You know what I'm getting at? Like, it's not quite as important as like maybe the main theme that was playing before that.
Right. This dude is great. I love that, the way that really ambitious going for something like that, but I feel like that type of NES music holds up the best because it was really, they were really smart and thoughtful about the way they input it. They weren't just trying to translate.
Yeah, that always intrigues me, songs where there's no percussion, there's just using 2 channels. It's like they weren't forced to, but it's almost like he composed this, like, oh, I have this great bass line, this great melody, and you know.
I think also it contrasts from the idea of like them trying to constantly push the boundaries of the NES, just wishing they had more channels. And here this song comes along and it's like, oh, you don't even need all of that.
The simplicity is what makes it really
also
work.
What's nice is like if there are sound effects in the stage, like let's say, you know, in Mario, when there's a bonus stage, you're always collecting coins.
Yeah.
So one thing that
I was commenting earlier about it, that's maybe why it always cuts out because of the coin sound effects. Did that to leave room for that sound effects channel, so
it could have just been really smart programming.
Either way, it was a good call. Nice job, Akito. So we're gonna move on to one of my favorite games of all time, Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
And I believe this is this week's...
No, not quite. You're jumping the gun a little bit.
Never mind.
Oh, you completely gave it away.
Okay, no, I didn't.
It's
this week's Sonic the Hedgehog 3 track.
The first track that we're playing from this game this week. We will play another track from this game later. But this is Bonus Stage, also known as Gumball Rag.
I really got to learn how to read.
Yeah, so this is the Gumball Bonus Stage from Sonic 3.
Just a little quick thing about this one. I was just, when I was looking through a bonus stage, I found this really cool dude who plays piano.
I saw that too.
I love that guy. And I also saw him playing the Mario World end credits.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently he was like sight reading.
That's
everything.
What he said. I didn't believe him.
And
I mean, that's really convenient when you turn the camera on. Oh, I'm sight reading this.
But whoever arranged it, it for the piano, did a really tasteful job. Like,
I enjoyed that as well.
But so yeah, you should definitely check that out. I don't really remember the dude's name, but
if you just type Sonic 3 Gumball,
go to Gumball Rag, you'll find this dude playing it on the piano, and then there'll be a link to his other stuff. It's really cool.
This track brings me right back to my childhood. This is Bonus Stage from Sonic 3. Stage from Sonic 3, also known as Gumball Rag. Yeah, just brilliant track, absolutely classic. I love the descending kind of ragtime show to me chord progression.
I mean, I absolutely adore ragtime, so this one's great. But one thing I really liked about that guy doing it on the piano, sometimes it takes... I've always liked this song, but this is such a short part in the game, and I feel like Sonic 3 is, out of the what I consider like the trilogy of Sonic games, is probably the one that I've played the least out of all the 3 of them, because we didn't have it at first when we were growing up. But when I was hearing that for the first time, like I think it was like a year or something ago when I first heard that, and I'm like, oh yeah, it is like a rag, and it's kind of clever how they have all these different sort of like instruments, and you sort of forget
Yeah, honestly, I did. When I heard that, I kind of forgot how good that original song was. You know, that's just a great track. Again, that descending chord progression is just so obviously so classic, done in countless songs, but it's literally just the perfect...
I think it's great for a bonus stage, too.
Because it's a short kind of... with the tempo and everything, it's a fairly short progression, the fairly short loop. There is a B section, which is also a lot of times
also,
you never
even
get to.
Like mentally, the you're constantly in like a downward motion in that level.
Exactly.
The springs keep wearing out, and you keep moving lower and lower. So it's almost like a subconscious thing.
That's so deep. I kind of
feel like
that
stuff happens all the time, though.
Yeah, part of me doubts that they were going that deep when they wrote this song, but it worked out. I mean, maybe they were. Let's hope they were. But yeah, that's just a classic track. Maybe I'm short selling the song.
And that's
the Sega Sound team.
We mentioned all those, 12?
In an earlier episode, yeah, we mentioned all their names, including Michael Jackson.
We'll list them in the, you can look underneath for the credits. We have all their names there, but we're not going to read them now.
The next game we're going to go to is Donkey Kong Country. The first one, we played one from the second one. This is from Donkey Kong Country 1. Again, David Wise composed it. This is Bonus Room Blitz from Donkey Kong Country. Bonus Room Blitz.
That's so sick. I love, my favorite part is
it's a very different vibe from the Donkey Kong Country 2 bonus stage. This one's a lot more kind of slow and happy.
Yeah, it's tropical. Really interesting. Because it's used for more than just like the bonus stages.
Yeah.
It's like every time you get like a little secret cave area.
Exactly.
It's kind of cute.
In general, like, the music of Donkey Kong Country was a lot more tropical and happy, major key.
Exactly.
And Donkey Kong Country 2, obviously, you know, any good second sequel is darker. And so, of course, a lot of the music is more minor key, more of a pirate kind of themed. So
right.
That, you know,
I don't know. I also really like that, like, pan flute type of instrument.
Uh-huh.
Also, the melody itself is kind of melancholy. And
to
me, it's nostalgic, but for a different reason. Like, musically, it's nostalgic.
Oh, I agree. And that's something I feel about the main theme that they play in Donkey Kong Country.
Right.
Especially when it comes, it starts with NES-style song, and then it comes in with the drums.
Definitely.
I think that same pan flute, there's something very nostalgic feeling about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to move on now. It's so crazy, guys, when you see my iTunes, my playlist, it's just like all the exact same.
bonus stage.
Anyway, we're going to move on to, like I said that because sometimes I lose my place, and it takes me a while to get back on track, but I have. And this is from Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, but Will was saying technically this was first used in Ocarina of Time. Is that right, Will?
Yeah, this was used, if you've played the game... It's the part in the game when you're trying to get your horse from, I don't remember that dude's name, the mean guy with the frizzly mustache. It's Epona, and you're trying to win it, so you have to do this race against him. And then, so yeah, this is the song that's played during that horse race.
And it pretty much is the same song as Mario Kart 64, Moo Moo Farm.
Yeah, very similar instruments.
Yeah, I mean, Koji's such a hack. I mean, he just, like, all he
can... Yeah, can he do something original for once? Yeah.
This was kind of the start of his, like, I feel like he just got over...
This game was definitely the peak.
He got overworked. He was working on too much, and it was sad because
the music
now,
for this and Majora's Mask is phenomenal.
It's phenomenal,
this is the last game that he ever did by himself.
Yeah.
And then Majora's, he pretty much did it all by himself.
I think he got overworked. There was too much he had to do in a small amount of time. That's why
now
he doesn't do
he
as
was
much.
He was a sound engineer for the old 8-bit consoles. And once he moved into this, now he's like a music supervisor.
Yeah.
So I think it was a little bit moving out of his territory.
Yeah, but anyway, this is Horse Race from Legend of Zelda, a few Legend of Zelda games. First Ocarina, and then Majora's Mask. Here we go. It's Horse Race. I think Koji must be a fan of bluegrass. You can tell in a lot of his compositions are very authentic.
Uh-huh.
Another thing about Slider, it's just well-suited, you know, from Mario 64. It's just so authentic mm-hmm. and well-suited.
Very melodic, too.
Oh, well,
the harmonies are really cool.
Surprisingly, with Koji. But we're going to move on to...
What's our next one?
The next one is from a game called Plock for SNES. Very weird soundtrack. This is composed by the two brothers. We played a track from theirs last week on our arcade episode. I think it was X-Men and Spider-Man Arcade's Revenge. And their names are Tim and Jeff Fallon. I think they're either, it must be either American or European or something. But yeah, they're very, very quirky composers, very modern, very kind of experimental. And with this, this is Bonus Level from Plock. And this is a very weird kind of epic song. And they do a lot of interesting meters, a lot of different time signatures. Mm-hmm. So this song, a lot of it is actually in 5, even though there's a faster subdivision that's pretty much just, you know, based on the 1, but
right.
It's some very interesting compositional things going on here.
Here's so I guess put your hipster caps on, because we're going to listen to some experimental music now.
I mean, I'm sure they were already on, so just maybe just, you know, make sure they're fastened snugly. Here's Bonus Level from Plock. Think about that there, Wilbur.
I love that one, actually. I think it's super sick. I like when it tries to like break down, doon, 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 uh-huh. doon, doon, and it's like, it's so funny because the SNES drum sounds aren't quite as good as the Genesis, and it's kind of funny when they try to do that. But I like the way it transitions back into the beginning. It's weird. It's like some of the instruments are in like 5/4, and mm-hmm. some of them are in like 4/4
in the beginning.
Like
the
exact same section. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird.
These two brothers, I mean, they were doing things on the SNES and in general in the 16-bit era of video game composers that nobody else was doing.
They might
on a lot
have...
of their games, I mean, they were completely had their own voice, and I think they were very ahead of their time. A lot of their music reminds me of kind of PlayStation era games, because mm-hmm. a lot of those PlayStation games had really goofy, modern, kind of experimental kind of music. There's actually this one track from this game called, I think, what is it called? Like Skull something. I can't remember what it is, but it's literally the song. It's a song called like Bonus Room, and it's a guy singing about a bonus stage. I wanted to have it in, but I don't know. It's really kind of
so weird.
It's really creepy, actually. It's like, I don't know. It's like this weird juxtaposition where he's singing this happy song, but then he gets really kind of creepy and demonic. It's weird.
Weird.
But anyway, that's from Plock.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
We're going to move on to a game called Shadow Dancer, The Secret of Shinobi. We played a track from the original Shinobi arcade game last week, and this is from, I think, a Genesis redone version of a game called Shadow Dancer. And this is composed by Kazuki Sakahara, and this is called, what do you think it's called, Will?
I'm just going to go on a wild limb and guess.
Bonus stage!
Bonus stage.
Bonus stage. Here we go.
Okay. Gosh, this is so 90s. They thought they were so cool having all those samples. I like it in Sonic 3 when it's like Michael Jackson's voice, but here it's just a little obnoxious.
It's incredibly obnoxious. I picked this because it was so goofy. Yeah, this is a goofy bonus song.
Yeah, it's the same way I feel everything about Sega and Sonic. It's like, it's just so isolated in the 90s.
Yeah.
I associate it with all the other pop culture stereotypes of the time,
which is something that makes it really enjoyable to play nowadays at the same time.
But I feel like in many aspects everything about it doesn't necessarily hold up in the same light that
really I mean I don't know I think this song is amazing.
No, it's good. It's just it doesn't stand the test of time the way like I don't know some other music does.
I know exactly what you mean.
It definitely doesn't feel timeless.
There's part of me, I don't know, when you're just talking about this, it kind of feels silly that we're talking so much about music when this episode is about bonus stage and we're playing songs like that. I feel like that's the most anyone's ever talked about that song.
Yeah, I mean, they probably weren't even thinking that much when they wrote it. Yeah. We should really take off our music theory caps.
We should just kind of take this for what it is.
Veg out, bro. Yeah.
All right, so this is probably my second most, like, as soon as we thought of it, doing bonus stages, boom, I thought of this one.
Right.
This is classic. This is from Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
This is another one. It sounds like a music box type of thing.
Yeah, this is based on his music box theme, the main theme of Yoshi's Island that plays in the opening cutscene. And this is kind of a remix of that. This is Bonus Game, composed by Koji Kondo from Yoshi's Island.
That's Bonus Game from Yoshi's Island. One thing, it definitely has that merry-go-round feel with
and the waltz.
It definitely reminds me
with the accordion.
Right, it reminds me a lot of the type of stuff that he did in the N64.
Yes, which was like a year later, so it makes sense.
Gosh, I love those harmonies and the bass line's great. It's just
this
classic.
Really feels like it's like a 64 era Koji track more than SNES
exactly.
Track.
I mean, one thing I like the attacks on the bass are.
Uh-huh.
Wait, I was gonna take off my. Whatever. I like the attacks. They're a little bit delayed. It's not dun dun. It's mwah mwah.
Yep.
Mwah mwah. I kind of like that.
Gives it a bonus vibe.
it almost sounds like the lead instrument is like crying. Like the.
I just thought it'd be funny if we like analyzed these tracks and kept on saying the word bonus, like as if that was a musical term to use. Like there's something. It just gives the bonus.
The bonioso.
Okay. So this is very exciting, everyone. We've reached the point in our episode.
Yes, this is this week's track of the week.
I couldn't understand what you just said. He actually said track of the week, guys.
It's this week's track of the week. Yeah. Ho, ho.
This is only the second time we've done that. I feel like you needed to save that voice for maybe the 10th time when people know exactly what's going on.
No, bro. I'm taking off my snob cap. I'm just going to be like this for the rest of the sode.
Okay, so the rest of this is going to be a solo podcast, everyone. this is our track of the week. It's from Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Like, you know, we said earlier, we played the bonus stage from that, which is good. But this is the special stage from Sonic 3, and this is outstanding.
So, this is this week's track of the week. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah.
This is Special Stage from Sonic 3, composed by Sega Sound Team. Could it be composed by any number of people? But
oh, and before you listen to it, I want you to take a listen to the tom fill in the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
And it's absolutely
one
the best
of the most
thing
epic
ever.
Drum fills ever. And then also take a listen to the organ solo, the second half of the
song.
We
cannot overstate that enough. That is, yes.
Here we go, Special Stage. Smokes. That is probably my favorite track of that whole game, actually.
Oh, definitely.
That is Special Stage from Sonic 3, composed by who knows? Whoever.
Genius.
Just genius.
Composed by God. Yeah. That is amazing.
Just the melody is so beautiful and so nostalgic of that era. And the A section, the B section, the C section.
Right.
I mean, it just keeps going. And
that lead instrument and the, like, reverb sound to it. It's just
the,
like,
vibrato.
Oh, God.
This is literally everything coming together, what makes Sonic 3 so unique. The style of composition, the instruments, the genre that they decided to go with, the drum sounds, the vibrato, everything about when you think of what makes Sonic 3 have that sound. It's this track. I mean, this is just... we can't really say enough about this track. This is not only the track of the week,
it's like solo here.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really well-composed solo, too. Like, it doesn't seem improvised. It seems like someone sat down...
I love the little grace notes. Oh, it's really cool.
But it seems like someone sat down and composed that solo.
Right.
It's just...
it kind of reminds... not to talk about so much Sonic S, but it reminds me of the... guys, again, I can't stress this enough. Please check out those Sonic S albums. A lot of love and labor went into making those, and they're really awesome. But
thanks, Will.
The the end boss theme of the second album has that just ridiculously awesome solo. It's like...
and that actually was composed. I actually did go... that's funny you say that, because I actually did sit down to keyboard and do it like 500% slower and actually thought about each note and then sped it up ridiculously. But anyway... yeah, we love that track. We're going to move on now.
Okay.
This is from another Genesis game. This is a game called Cool Spot. I love this game.
Oh, this game's
funny. This is a surprisingly good game. You wouldn't think it's good because it's about the 7-Up mascot in the 90s. He had his own game.
Yeah, but it's made by Virgin, the people who made Aladdin and Lion King.
And it's pretty much the same engine as Aladdin. It feels so similar. Like, it really feels like... a counterpart to Aladdin for some reason. But this is this game was composed by Tommy Tallarico, who is a huge force in video game music. He was the one who started video games live.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, he's been on, you know, he's
if
a
you
host.
Ever watched to, if you ever used to watch
G4,
there was that show, what was it
Judgment
called?
Judgment
like, Day. Judgment
Day. Yeah.
Where they would like...
it was him and this guy Victor, and they were a great duo because they always kind of bumped heads. But yeah, Tommy Tallarico composed this track. This is called Rave Dance Tune, and it's the bonus stage for Cool Spot. Let's check it out. Is Rave Dance Tune. I think Tommy named these tracks because a lot of these tracks have really goofy names. Right. Like, they're kind of the genre of what the track is. But yeah,
Gotta say, that doesn't sound very video gamey. It's kind of interesting. It feels like a little bit ahead of
his... And that makes sense for Tommy. I feel like some of his music is kind of like that. He's just being himself, you know, doing his thing. He's definitely a unique style.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool good dude.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Okay, what's the next one? We should probably...
Next track, this was Will's idea. You want to talk about this one, Will?
Oh, yeah. I don't really know a whole lot about this game, but when I was looking through it, I'm like, what the hell is this? This is from Lego Racers 2. I'm like... What? That I don't even know why I'd even be thinking about that. But this has a little bonus stage. It's a racing game, so it has that kind of style. But it's kind of cool. I thought it would
be a
little bit of
diversity. Will was searching YouTube feverishly trying to prepare for this, and this happened to be one of the videos
he
found.
Like, oh, no.
So don't try to make it bigger than it is. Just, this is a YouTube video you found.
Yeah.
This is bonus missions from LEGO Racers 2. Just a brilliant piece of music. It just reaches the depths of your soul and just unearths emotions that I've never experienced before. This is Bonus Missions.
Really like that guitar sound.
From composer unknown.
Wait, really?
Yeah, seriously. I looked for a long time. I couldn't find a composer for this game.
That was pretty... I kind of like that song. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, no, that's a cool song. I just kind of thought it was goofy that we were talking about bonus stages, so I just, you know...
Yeah, I mean, very good. Bonus stages, not important. Video game music, most people wouldn't care about. LEGO Racers 2.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, how seriously
I think their next episode
it?
Should be a LEGO Racers 2 episode, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move on to... Oh, yeah. We played Donkey Kong Country 1, Donkey Kong Country 2, and now we're going to play the bonus from Donkey Kong Country 3. And this might be the best... It's hard to say. This is another classic track. And one thing we didn't do is the Donkey Kong Country games, as soon as you beat the bonus round, there's always that classic... We won't sing it, but that classic two-second jingle that, for me, goes hand-in-hand with the bonus.
I really want to sing it.
So for this one, we actually are going to... We're going to play the track, and then after about 40 seconds or so... I'm going to play the little bonus win jingle right after that because I feel like they go hand in hand with each other. So here's Bonus Time, composed by David Weiss from Donkey Kong Country 3. Sorry, I almost forgot about that. But that really is, like, does go hand in hand.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
That's, like, the best use of 2 seconds. That's perfect.
Gosh, nice jazzy chords. Yeah. I like the lead instrument gets passed around to different instruments for the thing. And that's another one that would, like, slowly speeds up.
In general, I feel like this game is underrated. Donkey Kong Country 3 might be, this is weird saying this, but it might be the best Donkey Kong Country game. In both as far as David, his soundtrack, and as far as Rare, what they were doing, they were just masters at that point. I mean, they were so comfortable with the technology, with the kind of layout. Okay, this is the type of game we want to make. And they just were stretching, just flexing their muscles with this third game. This is such an amazing game. Most people... there's so many people that I run into that they've never even played the third one. It's like, oh yeah, Donkey Kong Country.
Well, it came out so late.
Yeah, yeah. But you really, if you haven't played
like
the
98
this...
or something.
I think 96. In the beginning, actually, when you're in the cave, Grandma is playing Mario 64 on her N64, and they actually play the castle theme,
right?
Which is kind of cool. But yeah, so we're gonna move on now. This is from Sonic 3D Blast. This is the Genesis version. It also came out for the Saturn.
I like the guy who did this music. What's his name?
John Senoway. Yeah, he did the music for the most recent Sonic Episode 4. Yeah, he's good. He also worked on Sonic 3 a little bit. He's very good.
This dude's pretty good. Speaking of which, Carl recently, I keep tooting his horn, but he recently did a remix of that I still haven't heard.
Yeah, from the first level of this game, Green Grove Zone. I'll show you.
Have you released that?
I haven't released it yet. I'll release it in, probably in the next few days, but I'll have to show it to you.
If you like, go to his YouTube account, KGB525. He'll probably have that up.
Yeah, I've done a couple remixes lately. usually, up until then, I've only just done original stuff, but I actually kind of got into doing some remixes. I actually did a remix of that Rockman and Forte track we played a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I got to say, guys, that is he did a really tasteful job of that. I heard it.
Thanks, man.
The instruments that he... We should keep going.
Yeah, so this is Special Stage, composed by Jun Senoway from Sonic 3D Blast. This is a great track. Here we go. Special Stage from Sonic 3D Blast. That's a brilliant track. I love how it takes a long time, but finally at that B section, the very end of the B section melody, they take that idea and move on to something new. It's just great, and it's a very, you're not surprising, when the loop ends is kind of a surprising point, too.
This song, it's kind of sad. It's really just melancholy, and I just, those chords are so infectious.
Yeah,
I'm such a sucker for like minor fours and just descending things.
It works great in video game music. It's all over video game music because it gives it that nostalgic sense of that tinge of sadness.
Like this.
Yeah, John, he did a great job with this track, and there's a couple tracks in the game that are great. Overall, the soundtrack's a little bit hit and miss, but this is an amazing track.
Speaking of, we just cut a track due to time, but it's probably ironic now that I'm mentioning it, but
it was the Saturn.
It's the Saturn version of Special Stage. The Special Stage. The music for that game is completely different. But one thing that I thought was really cool, the main boss is sort of this weird, sort of like trippy. Like I really like it. So if you are listening for any more like video game music that we don't mention here, look that up. It's the Sega Saturn version of Sonic 3D Blast, and it's the end boss. It's really cool. Give it a listen. It doesn't quite sound like most video game music, but it's pretty sick.
So kind of keeping in the Sonic vibe, we're actually going to play...
Yeah, I'm gonna introduce this one. Okay. So this is... I've mentioned a lot of it, and we're finally going to play one. This is not from any particular album, but this is Bonus Stage. And this is one of Carl's VOPM Sonic-inspired tunes. And this one is so great. I really want you to take a listen to some of the elements that he uses in this song. All the different voices, the speed of it. It's just great. I'll mention more of it later. But yeah, this is Bonus Stage, written by Carl Brueggemann. Love the way it transitions back into the
it kind of goes to the deceptive minor cadence.
This is the first
one
that Carl wrote that wasn't for an album, and this is one of the best ones. One thing that's really cool that really makes it sound like a bonus stage, because again, this is unlike those other games where it was composed for a game. This is just out of his head and out of his love for video game and Sonic music. So keep that in mind, and it sounds so authentic, doesn't it? It sounds like something from a Sonic game. But also, the speed of it, the drum beat is great, but also how long some of those cadences get towards, like, the middle section of the song, it's pretty long, and it's so, like, constantly moving. It definitely feels like a bonus
I just tried
stage.
To make everything about it as frantic as I could with the drums and the bass, almost to the point where it's a little bit over the top, but
I really like some of those inner colors, like, dim-a-dip-a-dip. It really all those things you do some of those rhythmic things that also they did in other Sonic music, and it really gives it a sense of like when it works with the melody, it makes it sound very busy and kind of full, and that works great with this one.
Thank you.
I really sort of like the hook at the beginning and the way it transitions back and then
kind of a repeated
melody. I think that's
my
favorite thing about the song, but when it goes back into it the last time and the instrumentation is just a little bit different, That's great, man.
Thanks
really
a lot.
Good.
Well, yeah, in that kind of that same vein, now we're going to play a track of Will's. And this track, it's kind of interesting because my kind of sensibilities, I definitely gravitate more towards Sonic, kind of Genesis music, maybe a little bit more Masato inspired or Sonic 3 inspired. But Will's kind of composition of voice is definitely much more Koji inspired. So he ends up writing a lot more Mario, kind of Zelda styled songs like that. And so this is a track of his. It's an NES style track. Another bonus, you know, style song. It's called Toad House. So that, you know, leads you to believe that it would belong in a Mario game of some kind. Mm-hmm. But again, no particular game. He just, out of his head, wanted to come up with a Toad House. So it could be, I could kind of see it maybe one of those, like, those card games or some sort of bonus, kind
of
low-pressure bonus game.
Yeah, I was thinking of, it's like the type of thing, when you, like, go, I was thinking about Mario 3 when you go in there and there's
that's
all those
exactly
little
what I was getting.
Bonus
so anyways,
houses.
this is Toad House composed by Will Brueggemann. This is Toad House, composed by Will Brueggemann. Yeah, I love the melody in this, Will. I mean, what's so cool about this track is this sounds like a Spanish folk song to me. There's something so timeless and classic about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's very folk songy, which is great for Mario, because a lot of Koji's melodies are totally folk songy. They're just around for a long time. It seems like they've been around forever.
Right.
And that definitely is what this melody
evokes. It's funny.
It's like
I was inspired by Koji, and he was inspired by, like, real musicians.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, I know, through osmosis, you're inspired by them, too.
Exactly.
But, yeah, no, this is awesome, awesome track. Well, the way the melody and harmony works, he definitely spent some time kind of researching how the NES stuff worked as far as the different channels, how they interacted, some of their limitations. When I was doing a lot of my Sonic stuff, I wasn't as concerned about trying to be faithful to the limitations of the Genesis.
Well, I think it makes sense because the Genesis didn't have as many limitations, and you were going for the compositional style, and I feel like with Koji and what I was going for, the compositional style was actually affected by the limitations.
Yeah.
Where with yours, you were going for their style and the type of music that they would do in
Sonic.
I
love how the hi-hat doesn't come in right away. That's great, Will.
Yeah,
you kind of wait. Yeah, so
it seems like something because it's like it's the type of song where you probably wouldn't listen to it for very long.
Yeah,
so it's like a little, I guess, little Easter egg or something for someone that would be playing the game.
No, so hopefully you guys enjoyed that. That was a track of mine and then a track of Will. So yeah, if you guys enjoyed that, be sure to leave us a comment. We definitely like to hear that. If you absolutely hated that and like, oh, get back to the actual music, let us know that too. But that was kind of just something new we tried out. But we're gonna get back into it now. This is from Sonic the Hedgehog for the Game Gear and Master System, which had completely different music. So this is a bonus stage from Sonic the Hedgehog for the Game Gear and Master System. bonus stage from Sonic the Hedgehog for Game Gear and Master System. That's composed by Yuzo Koshiro.
I really enjoy hearing 8-bit music that isn't Nintendo, because mm-hmm. Sega definitely had, with the Master System, they had way better sounds. Still 8-bit, but
yeah,
very good. I don't know too much about the Game Gear. I never had one, but...
Some sort of sound effects.
I love those like whistle type of noises.
Yeah, that's such a cute little track. That's a perfect bonus stage song.
That's great.
We only have one more actual track on our playlist here. And this might be my favorite track of the day as far as something I discovered this week. One of my favorite things about doing this podcast, guys, is I love, because surprisingly, I don't spend my time searching the internet for bonus stage music. That's just, so what was cool about this week is that's what I did, and I discovered so much music that I'd never heard before, and this is my favorite new discovery I made mm-hmm. this week.
It's sort of one of the reasons we're doing this podcast is to expose music that we think is good to other people that may not have heard it, also just to make a playlist of good video game music for people to listen to. But it's also it's a learning experience for us, because we're learning a lot while doing this. I guess we're learning how to do a podcast and how to talk to for that long, but mm-hmm. also we're discovering a lot of new music, and it's really enjoyable for us, and we hope that it's enjoyable for you guys too. So
yeah, totally. That's well said, Will. So this is from a game called DK King of Swing for the Game Boy Advance. I've never played this game. I think I may have heard of it years ago when I had a Game Boy Advance, but I never really thought anything of it, and I guess I never really would have expected to have really good music, but it really does. It's composed by Takashi Koga, and this is bonus stage from DK King of Swing. This is just such a cute, such a melodic, awesome track. Here we go. Bonus stage from DK King of Swing, composed by Takashi Koga. That is just a masterful track. Yeah, what a gem.
It's so great. Not only is the melody great, it's so cute.
It has that minor four chord, which you love.
I'm just a sucker for... You'd think after composing music for, after a certain amount of time, you'd be like, okay, just a chord.
It wouldn't have the same effect, but it totally does.
I don't know. I'm such a sucker for things like that.
Oh, same here. The first time I heard that, part of it is a surprise. The minor four chord is so effective because it's a surprise.
Especially when it's so early on.
Yeah, you're never expecting it to happen. But yeah, that's
one thing I just kind of want to mention about the GBA. It's cool. It's like the instrument quality for the melodies, for like the actual notes mm-hmm. are like, I give it like, it's almost like a 12-bit, you mm-hmm. know, it's not quite mm-hmm. 16-bit, but it's a little bit more than 8-bit. And they definitely are able to use more channels like here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because there's those 8-bit sounding like square, but they're playing
back
chords.
Beats.
Yeah, so it's like that you could not do that.
The great thing about the quote 12-bit or whatever is that it always impresses you, because it starts off this track with a very 8-bit style with instruments, mm-hmm. very sparse. But then in the B section, when all of a sudden it goes to those strings, it all of a sudden surprises you because you're not expecting it to do that. Because
some
it
of
sounds
the samples,
like the SNES,
right?
Strings,
and some of the samples are even better. Like some of the drum samples and everything are mm-hmm. actually like sampled from like GameCube games.
Yeah, I mean the fidelity is a lot worse. Right. The frequency is a lot worse. But yeah,
I really like also in this song the thing that really just got me into it when the
yes.
Ooh, when that came in, that was just
And in general, I think what I was watching your reaction, mm-hmm. what I think you enjoyed about it was that it was a longer form than you thought it was going to be. You thought it was going to go back, and it kept going, yeah.
And I mean, as much as I'm a huge fan of older video game music, how they're able to make it feel full, this is an example of a song. They really couldn't have done this the way it was mm-hmm. in an older console. And the yeah. really big feeling of swing with those like reggae, like you said, yeah. those backbeats. That's so essential to the whole, like, I was bouncing up and down the yeah. whole time when we were listening to this song. And it's really, that's really something that you don't really notice it too much unless you're paying attention, but it's really the
yeah, this is definitely a runner-up to the track of the week. I think we should call this the new gem of the week. Because right. the special stage, me and Will have known that for our whole lives. I mean, we knew that growing up. So, I right. mean...
So, what we're going to start doing is... Whenever we discover a song like this where it's maybe not the best track of the week, but it's something that we maybe discovered or that mm-hmm. we think would be cool, we're going to put a hyperlink to it down yeah, where so, we
so,
have our...
So in the description where our playlist of each episode is, the track that is our, I guess we're going to start calling it our...
Excuse me.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Our, you know, new gem or something along those lines. We'll make that actually a hyperlink so you can that will take you to another YouTube video. We'll still have our normal track of the week embedded YouTube video on the right. So, for example, this week we'll still have our Sonic 3 special stage on the right, but we'll also have this as a hyperlink in our description. So that being said, that is all the tracks we have.
That brings us to the end of the episode.
That was a not surprising. I knew it was going to be fun, and it was. Just as fun as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that was great.
That was so cool. It was cool how much we actually talked about music when we just played all these bonus stages. I kind of was wondering that, I guess we're just going to fly through some bonus stages and be out, but
yeah, I think we covered a lot of interesting ground. Another example of it's like people that aren't musicians and that don't write music, I don't think they fully realize the amount of time or the amount of thought mm-hmm. or experience that goes into composing a piece of music, even if it sounds goofy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't it's necessarily purposeful. Translate into easy to write
it's,
or
yeah,
like.
It's purposeful. You're going for that. And there's something brilliant about nailing a goofy, simplistic mm-hmm. feel
because
of a song.
Because they're not goofy and stupid. They're goofy yeah. and melodic and memorable
exactly.
and timeless.
Yeah, and that is a really important distinction. I'm glad you made that. And that's definitely something that I think a lot of people don't ever think about, which, you know, it's not surprising they wouldn't, but it's kind of cool that we can kind of maybe bring that to light yeah. a little bit.
So I guess if there would be a lesson of the week or whatever, it's just, it's the difference between, I guess, don't judge a book by its cover and the mm-hmm. difference between musicality and sound.
Yeah.
And the difference between don't, just because something sounds or appears a certain way, there can be, in most times, there is so much more behind it. And I think that can apply to way more than just video game music.
I don't think so. I didn't realize you put your pompous cap back on. I thought you...
I'm just kidding.
No,
I can't take it off. It's surgically stapled onto my head.
No, that's a very good point. Well, yeah, we had a great time this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening. This is episode 6. We are the Super Mercado Brothers. My name's Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. And again, you could follow all the links, Twitter, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Feel free to leave us a comment, send us an email. We want to know, you know, what you guys think. If you're enjoying mm-hmm. this, let us know. I mean, that really motivates us. When we hear good feedback from people, it really makes us want to just keep doing this. So
also, if you have any suggestions for themes for episodes mm-hmm. or just tracks in general, we'll try to work that in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, for sure. So for next week, our topic is...
Yeah, we're doing Castlevania, and this is definitely a little bit more my territory than Carl, but
that's
what you should plan for.
More Will-centric of an episode, but this should be a very good one. I mean, Castlevania is one of the most important mm-hmm. music series in all of video games. So
yeah, we're actually going to let you go with a track from... Super Mario All-Stars. This is just the bonus theme from
Mario 1.
Mario 1 in that game.
Yeah, for me, this is nostalgia defined in this track. So on that note, we hope you guys have a good week.
Take care, everyone. We really enjoyed doing this, and we hope you had a fun listen.
All right, we'll see ya.